Hey, what's up, everyone, and welcome to the Tailgate Sports Podcast. And I am one of your hosts, Tanner Johnson. With me is Ricky Scott. Hey, Ricky.
Tanner, what's going on today?
I don't know. Just shooting the shit, man. I got electrocuted today. Still feel it in my fingers.
It's tingling, people. I don't know if the tingle is coming from the electricity or if it's coming from us being able to do this podcast for you guys.
I don't know. It's a little of both, man. It's a weird feeling. Anyway, let's just, you know, close that can of worms.
Kind of hard to close it when you're still tingling.
We are a small two-man business. Please show your support by rating, commenting, subscribing, and sharing with all your friends and family. We do put a lot of effort into this, a lot that goes on behind the scenes, that we're a lot of projects that we're working on in the for the future episodes and for future endeavors that we're hoping to do with this podcast. Please follow us on TikTok at Tailgate Sports Podcast and on Instagram at Tailgate Sports Podcast 24. We do have a Patreon account. It's patreon.com/tailgatesports for exclusive content that I'm hoping to start dropping this week. Most likely it'll be the first couple drops will be next week. All right, Ricky, you want to go through the standings?
Go through the standings. Who would you like to start with?
Let's go AFC West. Make you sad right off the bat.
I hate you so much. Let's just start from the bottom. Last in the West is the Las Vegas Raiders with a record of 2-8. Wah, wah,
wah. I should have like a sound effect, a sad little horn.
We should definitely add that. We got a pretty tight one brewing between Denver and the Chargers. We got the Chargers in second, Denver in third as a 6-5, Chargers 7-3. There we go. There we go. That's actually reverting back to the Raiders.
Sorry, we're talking about the Raiders again?
Yes. There we go. And we got the Kansas City Refs at 9-1.
Hey, whoa there.
With a nice blemish from Bills Mafia.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really much to say. I think that division's pretty straightforward.
I mean, I feel like it's pretty sewn up every year, as long as Patrick Mahomes is the Chief.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, the Chiefs are a Super Bowl favorite until they're not. That's pretty much what it is. At least that's what it is to me.
I mean, it's pretty interesting at 2-3. Do you think the West is going to have two teams make the wild card?
Oh, they might have three.
Yeah, I doubt that.
I think they might have three. I mean, I think Chargers are all but a lock for the playoff. And I think the Broncos currently have the seventh. Yep. The Broncos currently have the seventh seed in the AFC. A sole possession of it.
I mean, but the Chargers are infamous for blowing games at the end, towards the end of the season. To make the playoffs.
This is a different team, man. Jim Harbaugh changes that whole team. They made no changes pretty much anywhere. They just added Jim Harbaugh, Greg Roman, Jesse Minter, and all of a sudden the team's 7-3. With the same everything. Same players just about everywhere.
So the Broncos got the Raiders this Sunday in Vegas.
It's going to be a sad game for you.
I mean, I saw the splitting this year, but with the way the team's looking, I think we should just, you know, cruise it.
Yeah.
And then, let's see.
Sorry. I got it. I found this. That's pretty awesome. Per ESPN's Rich Cimini, he's a staff writer for the NFL. Apparently, the Woody Johnson, the Jets owner, had an internal meeting on September 30th talking about benching quarterback Aaron Rodgers.
They're talking about him not even being a Jet next year.
That's total bullshit. I mean, they just fired Joe Douglas yesterday, which didn't make any sense because Joe Douglas, his contract was up at the end of the season.
He has to get fired.
Like, this is literally the owner of the Jets trying to save face, saying he wanted to bench Rodgers, but, you know, the coaching staff and Joe Douglas didn't want him to.
He said, I said no.
That is the dumbest thing.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers will be a Jet next year?
He shouldn't be. He probably will be, but he shouldn't be.
He's going to follow that Brett Favre path. He's going to be a Viking.
They already drafted their quarterback. They're good.
Ooh, Mr. McCarthy?
Mm-hmm.
He is not the future of the Vikings, I tell you that much.
I don't know. I think he's going to succeed.
I was also wrong about Drake May. I thought he was going to be a little bust, but... Dude's handling his own.
Shade on Drake May for?
Because he looked Drake like May. Hot shit in the preseason.
Then you look at Drake May now.
He's a legend. Old man.
Future Hall of Famer. This transition is perfect. Let's do the AFC East.
Let's do it. Let's go over to the East.
Yeah. The New England Patriots at 4, the New York Jets at 3, the Miami Dolphins at 2, and the Buffalo Bills at 1. Bills 9-2, Dolphins 4-6, Jets 3-8, Patriots 3-8. Oh my gosh.
Sad division.
So sad.
So, do you see 2 coming out of there, or do you see only 1?
It's just the Bills.
Just the Bills. And then we get 2 out of the North. I think 2 out of the North.
Yeah, it's going to be Steelers and Ravens out of the North. I think the Bengals have dug themselves too big of a hole, and the Browns are 2-8.
What do we get? 3 wild card spots?
Yeah.
For the West? I mean, the AFC?
It's 3. So you got the 4 division winners and then 3 wild card. And let's run through the North real quick.
The North, we got Pittsburgh at 8-2. That's going to be a tough one to hold. Mm-hmm. Baltimore 7-4, Cincinnati at 4-7, and Cleveland at a whopping 2-8.
Such a shame. Let's round it out with the AFC South. You got the Houston Texans at 7-4, the Indianapolis Colts at 5-6, Tennessee Titans at 2-8, Jacksonville Jaguars at 2-9. So, you know, sadness. The AFC is super top heavy. You notice that this year?
Yes.
Like each division has, like, the clear winner, except for the West and, even in the West, I mean, the Chiefs are 9-1, and the North, Steelers are 8-2, but the South with the Texans, I mean, they've got 3 games on the Colts, and then you got the Titans and the Jaguars competing for the number one pick, so it's just a joke, man. But as the playoffs currently stand, the Chiefs would have the 1 seed, the Bills the 2, Steelers 3, Texans 4. The Chargers would have the 5 seed, the Baltimore Ravens would have the 6 seed, and the Denver Broncos would have the 7 seed. That is going to be an ugly playoff. If these 7 teams go, Denver can beat anyone on here. Baltimore can beat anyone on here on any given day. The Chargers can beat anyone. Steelers, if the Steelers play Baltimore, they'll probably beat Baltimore.
In the playoffs?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Lamar Jackson has 1 game against the Steelers where he has above a 57 PFF passing grade in his career. 1 game.
Did you see a lot of the calls in that Ravens-Steelers game? Isaiah Likely fumble?
Yeah, there's some questionable things, but, I mean, the Ravens had every opportunity to win the game.
Yeah, they blew it.
Being that low scoring, they should have won. Pretty jokey.
Speaking of, did you watch that Pat McAfee show today, by chance?
No. I stayed away from that. They had my brain melt every time I watch that.
I mean, he's hot. As far as not like his appearance, but his status, he's up there right now. Everyone's loving some Pat McAfee.
Everyone loves him.
But who are we moving on to next? I don't know, man. I think, honestly, to jump back to the AFC West, Denver has a chance to jump over, Because the Chargers got the Ravens. And who you think got? Who you got in that?
Chargers.
Over the Ravens?
Mm-hmm.
No, they ain't losing to the Chargers.
I don't know. Chargers are the best defense statistically in the NFL. Justin Herbert's playing like an MVP. Baltimore's pass defense is very susceptible. And that's what the Chargers have been leaning into lately. Is Khalil Mack supposed to play in that game?
I don't know. Is his pinky toe fucking healthy?
Possibly.
Mr. Glass?
I mean, even without him, they're still getting pressure. And this Chargers team is for real. They are playing like last year's national champion Michigan Wolverines.
But they also looked okay against a shitty Bengals team, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to beat themselves. They're going to force mistakes. Eventually, they're just going to squeeze the life out of you. They just look like Michigan under Jim Harbaugh. Except they have an elite quarterback who is just pulling plays out of his ass the entire time.
I think at the end of the day, the Chargers are going to be the Chargers.
No, it just feels different, man. Jim Harbaugh, he's a winner. Did you see the signs during the Sunday Night Football?
No, was like, a good one.
The pants. Turning up each cheek. It's like, oh, damn it. What is it? It's Jim Harbaugh, like, before and afters with each of his, with Stanford, with Michigan, with the 49ers.
I didn't see it. I had to catch it.
It was awesome.
Man, you got some high praise for the Chargers.
Oh, man, it just feels so much different.
But you're also a Titans fan, so.
I am a Titans fan. I'm a sicko. Yeah. Oh, man. I'm trying to find it. It's awesome. It, like, had two pairs of pants. All right, here we go. Here we go. Jim Harbaugh. Damn it. Son of a bitch. Yeah, so I think the Chargers are definitely going to make the playoff, man. I don't see any reason why they shouldn't. Okay, so...
They're battling themselves.
Yeah, so... Let's see. So the San Francisco 49ers, before Jim Harbaugh got there. So the season before they got there, 11... was when he got there. That was his first season. So 2010, San Francisco 49ers were 6-10. Okay. In 2009, they were 8-8. You know, it's solid. Okay. But it's not what they were, especially because, you know, coming off of Bill Walsh and everything like that. So 2011, they went 13-3. Okay. They went 13-3, got the first round bye in the playoff. Okay, and then 2012, they win the division again, 11-4, 2013, 12-4, 2014, that is the year that he leaves, is 2014. That was his last season coaching San Francisco. They went 8-8. He jumped over to Michigan.
So I got you got all this high praise about the Chargers making the playoffs.
Yes, sir.
So they got the Ravens. I say they're 0-1 with that. Then they got the Falcons. I'll give them 1-1. Chiefs, 1-2. The Bucks, 1-3. I don't have them beating the Bucks. Broncos.
You have them going through this year?
Yeah, for the remaining
schedule.
The rest
of the schedule?
Yes. So what do we have on
that? 1-3. Smash the Bucks.
No, they're definitely not beating the Bucks.
So I'll give you that they might lose to the Ravens. Okay, I'll give you that one. They're dumpstering the Falcons.
Yes, I agree. Lopsided win.
They're going to dumpster the Falcons. Lose I think the they Chiefs. Could beat the Chiefs, too.
Nope. Ain't happening.
They lost 17-10.
This is in Kansas City.
I get that it's in Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes still isn't playing well. He still isn't playing well. Their defense is looking worse. And Justin Herbert is playing like the best quarterback in the league. I think that Kansas City Chiefs game will tell you everything you need to know for the rest of the season. But even if they lose... So there's, what are they? They're 7-3 right now. So they're 8-5 after Kansas City. They're beating the Bucs because the Bucs are, they're at home against the Buccaneers.
They're not beating the Bucs.
Still aren't good. Still ain't good, man.
But the Bucs also went into Kansas City, almost beat them. They also went into San Francisco, almost beat them.
Yeah, but neither of those teams are as good as they were a year ago.
But they're still, even with them being not as good, they're still better than the Chargers.
Oh, no way. Oh. No way on earth. All right. The Chargers are going to beat the Broncos. They're going to beat the Patriots. They're going to beat the Raiders. They're going to finish like 12-5.
I have them winning 10 games.
10? Who else are they losing to?
So hear me out. They lose to the Ravens. They lose
to the Broncos.
They lose to the Ravens. Beat the Falcons. Lose to the Chiefs. Lose to the Bucks. They go on a skid. Lose to the Broncos. Beat the Pats, and then close out the season being the Raiders.
Well, they're getting 12 wins, man.
They're definitely not getting 12 wins.
12 wins.
So remember, we can mark this. Clip it so I can post it.
12 wins.
You hear it here.
I'll even bounce back.
The Bucks will beat the Chargers.
Well, let me bounce back to Jim Harbaugh's, his entire career.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
So, his first season as a head coach of Stanford went 4-8. Okay. Stanford, notoriously difficult because they have education standards that they have to recruit players to, which is pretty brutal. They go 4-8, 5-7, 8-5 his third year, 12-1 his last year in Stanford. We already went through his stint in San Francisco, 13-3, 11-4 with one tie, 12-4, 8-8. Then he jumps back to Michigan. Okay, here's from Michigan 2015 to 2023 when he won the national championship. He's 89-25 in 9 years at Michigan with a win percentage of 78% of his games. Dude's a winner. He's completely changed that whole culture. Justin Herbert is playing free and loose with, I will give it to you, subpar, supporting cast, no playmakers to speak of. But I'm telling you,
so hear me out.
That playoff.
There's only one team in this league that can win with subpar, position groups, and that's the Chiefs.
That is the Chiefs, but the Chargers have a better defense.
Definitely not. Not in any of those Super Bowl runs that the Chiefs had. The Chargers don't have a better defense.
Not than those. But this year, Chargers have way better defense and a better quarterback this year.
I think Patrick Mahomes will get it done. They don't lose again. They got that out of the way.
Yeah, they got it out of the way. I mean, at most, they're going to lose one more. I don't think they're in danger of losing the one seed.
Who beats them?
Justin Chiefs?
Here, I'll pull it up for you.
They're going to lose the last week of the season to the Broncos.
So they got the Panthers next, right? Easy win.
Dumpster fire. Dumpster Raiders. Fire, dumpster fire.
Easy win. Chargers.
The two.
They win by a touchdown again. Browns, they win. Texans, they beat the Texans. Steelers, the Steelers is going to be a toss.
I think they have a chance to lose to the Chargers. If they ain't playing like lights out against the Chargers, they're going to lose. The Texans is kind of which Texans team shows up. Steelers, which Steelers team shows up.
So
I do think they lose the last week of the season, though.
No, they won.
Week 18 is going to matter to the Broncos, and it's not going to matter to the Chiefs. They're going to have already clinched the one seed, and losing that spot to the Broncos isn't going to matter because the Bills are going to lose someone else. Bills are good right now, but they're not unbeatable. They never are. They're going to drop a fluky game to either the Niners. The Bills have to play the Lions. Like, that's going to be potential Super Bowl match. December 15th, they play in Detroit.
So the Broncos got the Raiders this week. Probably easy win for the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
But as we've seen, anything can happen. I mean, I want the Raiders to lose. Better draft capital.
Yeah.
Then they got the Browns on Monday night. I can see Famous Jameis going in there and pulling some shit out of his ass. Then they got the Colts at home. Anthony Richardson's hot right now.
No. Their defense is a top five defense, and Anthony Richardson gets frazzled. Their coverage unit is stupid. I mean, the Colts have two receivers that can separate. Michael Pittman can't separate at all. A.D. Mitchell can, but he never gets the ball thrown to him. And Josh Downs, I mean, is inconsistently getting the ball thrown to him. I think they beat the Colts easy. I think they lose to the Chargers.
I think they beat the Chargers. I think Joe Burrow pulls his head off his ass and they beat the Broncos. And then I see them.
It's not even losing. Joe Burrow's fault. It's their defense, man.
Yeah, but he makes some questionable plays when he's trying to play from behind.
I think these last three games for the Broncos are coin flips, and they're going to matter a lot.
No, I agree.
Each one is a coin flip right now, and like especially with who they're competing in for the. For that last wild card spot, they need those wins. Because, I mean, they play the Bengals. And the Bengals, like you said, could get hot and start getting these wins. The Dolphins could potentially overtake them. The Colts are one game behind them.
But there's nothing worse than playing a team that has nothing to play for. We've seen it time and time again that teams that are not making the playoffs, they come and shit on these teams that are trying to make the playoffs.
Yeah. It's going to be your Raiders. You're going to win one more game and lose out on any chance of the number one pick.
I mean, I hope we tie.
Even then, you lose all the tiebreakers. Like, that's why you're picking fifth.
What's our road to number? So do we even have a chance of getting number one?
Not as it stacks out right now. Because the Jaguars are currently at the number one pick. They have the best strength of schedule of any of the teams up to two with two wins. The Titans have the next best, and that's why they're at second at number two right now. The Raiders are the worst, have the like highest strength of schedule, but that's because the Broncos, Chargers, and Chiefs are all playoff teams right now. And so for the Raiders to win any of those tiebreakers, they need the Broncos to for sure nosedive, and they need probably the Chargers to not be as good either. But I don't know about that. I think you just lose out. Do you think they fire AP and hire Dion?
No. I think he gets a pass on this season.
Did you see the... I think it was the Herd with Colin Cowherd. He brought on Michael Irving. And he said, do you think Dion takes the Dallas Cowboys job if they draft Shadur?
It's a no-brainer.
And Michael Irving's like best buds with Dion. Just goes, I have, you know, little birds are chirping. Meaning, yes. Dion told him yes, he would take it. I mean, Dion's not at Colorado next year. I think he's going to the NFL. I think he's going to be a Raider.
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing him as a coordinator, but not as the head coach.
Could you imagine that? Like in... Him as the head coach of Dallas. He drafts Shadur in the first round. He has a brand new contract, Dak Prescott, with a first round pick in Shadur.
You know what?
Anytime Dak throws an incomplete pass, the camera's going to hard cut to Shadur just laughing at him on the sideline.
I would love to see the Cowboys draft Shadur Sanders early in the first round. And see Dion go to Dallas. Because that means the chance of trading Dak Prescott is super high.
Yeah, it is. Just not in the next 2 years.
I would take
it's impossible to lose, man.
I would take a Dak Prescott on the Raiders.
I would too. Absolutely. Dak's not the problem there. It's the whole supporting cast.
So what are our chances to get a lower pick? Like number two or three?
It's not great. You need everyone ahead of you to win.
Yeah.
And the Titans and the Jaguars play each other twice.
Someone's losing. I mean, someone's winning, someone's losing.
Yeah, so one of these two isn't going to be here.
I hope they split.
But even then, if they split, the Raiders can't win another game. The Giants just benched Daniel Jones for Tommy DeVito, little cutlets.
Do you feel bad for Drew Lock? No. Not to jump off topic, but he was...
No.
The number two. He was the number two.
I don't care. They're trying to sell tickets. Tommy DeVito sells tickets. Yeah. Drew Lock doesn't.
I mean, I like...
Everyone knows that the team's bad. What's the point in winning? The point is to get people to fill the seats and sell tickets. You get DeVito there, you're going to sell tickets because people love him. Have you seen the Tommy DeVito Twitter hate? So there's a portion of the Giants fandom that absolutely loves Tommy DeVito. You know, rightly so. He won them 3 games last year. It was 3-3. Then there's the other side of Twitter that absolutely fucking hates DeVito because those 3 wins cost them Drake May. And so every time Drake May makes a good play, DeVito, Tommy DeVito just gets roasted.
Just get on him.
I hate your fucking guts. Oh, man. It's some funny stuff. You got to just search Tommy DeVito as soon as Drake May scores a touchdown on Twitter. It's some super funny stuff.
That's awesome.
Those 3 wins could have had Drake May, and Drake May looks fantastic. Could you imagine what the Giants would be with Drake May?
Whew. Oh, my goodness.
It for sure say Brian Daboll's job.
So say they didn't re-sign Jones, got Drake May, kept Saquon.
Yeah, that's the whole part of this. Like,
had neighbors.
Them signing, they wouldn't have neighbors if they had Drake May.
Oh, yeah. First round.
Them signing Daniel Jones is the reason they're this bad this year. That's it. Plain and simple. Them signing Daniel Jones is the reason they're this bad this year, because it's set into motion a whole bunch of other issues. Them making the playoffs in Brian Daboll's first season was the worst thing that could have happened to them, because then they overestimated Daniel Jones, signed him to his contract instead of franchise tagging him. They had 1 good season out of Daniel Jones. That's what the franchise tag is made for. You don't actually know what Daniel Jones is, so you franchise tag him. Instead, they decided to franchise tag Saquon, and they weren't as good. Then he tore his ACL, and he comes back from it, and he's still just what he is. Like, their whole team building around that was awful, except for this year's draft. This year's draft was fantastic for them. I mean, they got playmakers all over the place. This year's draft, they got 7 starters out of this draft.
That's freaking amazing.
I mean, they got Malik Nabers in round one, like number one wide receiver, potential, like, I mean, just potential top 5 wide receiver in the league. It's pretty easy, pretty clear. And then round 2, they got Tyler Newbin, starting safety, which, I mean, he's really good. Like, he's doing really well. He's playing really well. He's a solid, just safe safety pick in the back end. Round 3, they got Drew Phillips, their slot corner right now, and he is already a top 10 slot corner in the league.
Jesus.
Like, already super physical, great press coverage corner. He's the best corner on the team right now. Like, he is playing super good.
Did you watch the offseason, the HBO special for the Jets?
Yeah, a little bit. On how they were so desperate to try and trade up for Drake May. So they,
I think they were also looking at Jaden Daniels too.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to get both. They also, they were interested in Michael Penix, but obviously they would prefer Malik Nabers over Penix. They took Nabers over Penix. So here's their draft. They went Malik Nabers at 6 overall. Round 2, they got Tyler Newbin, solid, you know, solid. Then Drew Phillips, round 3. In round 4, they drafted their tight end, Theo Johnson, who's starting caliber tight end, nothing special, but starting caliber. Round 5, let's see, who do they get? They got Tyrone Tracy, their starting running back. They got a linebacker, a special teams gunner in round 6. And in round 7, they didn't have a pick. To get 5 actively contributing starters for your team heading forward in each round of the draft, and then a good special teams player for you. A good depth piece. Like, that's a killer draft. Most teams would die to have that good of a draft. Like look at the Titans. I mean, you got J.C. Latham, who's looking really good. Like, looking like a stud pick. Round 2, you got T'Vondre Sweat. But because this team's so freaking trigger happy on making trades, they didn't have a 3rd-round pick. Okay. Then they take Cedric Gray, who is not on the team anymore, in the 4th round. 5th round, they got Jarvis Brownlee Jr., who's who's a starting corner for them. You know, solid. But he's not, I mean, he's not anything special. They got their kick return, punt return guy, Jaquan Jackson, round 6. And then round 7, they drafted a safety who is not on the team anymore. And Jalen Harrell, who is one of their active edge rushers. But I mean, it's just, most teams don't get what the Giants got this year. This is a fundamental building block year going into this next draft. If I was them, I would maybe look at a stopgap, to be honest. Like, it's the quarterbacks really aren't that good, but they're going to end up taking one. Cleveland, I think, is going to take Cam Ward no matter what. I saw it proposed for the Titans. They're looking at the edge rushers pretty heavily in this draft.
Told you.
I mean, Abdul Carter is a Tennessee Titan. I'd buy his jersey immediately, man.
Like immediately?
Immediately.
Like, I'm going to buy you a knockoff version.
It's going to have one N and one S in Tennessee.
The numbers are going to be upside down.
I don't know, man.
Do you expect Watson to be on the Browns next year?
I think they're hoping he stays hurt.
Do you think Rodgers is going to be a Jet?
Yes, but I don't think they want him to be.
So they're already reporting, sources are telling ESPN, that it's unlikely that Rodgers will be a Jet next year.
I mean, Woody Johnson's the only one still there. He's an idiot. Did you see his famous quote?
Mm-mm.
Don't use logic in your decision making. It's overrated. Dude, you're the dumbest guy. How are you a billionaire?
I think you're allowed to be dumb when you're rich.
Yeah, but most rich people aren't idiots.
I mean, they can become
idiots. They got to be pretty smart in order to get that money. It's just awful.
That's freaking funny. I don't know. Free agency is going to be pretty crazy, too.
Yeah. With the Jets, I mean, they got to go after offensive line. They got to do whatever they can.
The Raiders are super happy that this whole Davante Adams scenario ain't working out, because they're already talking about Rodgers not being a Jet. And then I think, what, Rodgers has a next year, and then he's a free agent, right?
Rodgers?
I mean, not Rodgers, Devontae.
Let me check it out.
And Devontae's over there signing hamburgers. Did you see that picture or that video of him actually signing someone's hamburger? Yeah. They're like,
he is under contract through the 2026 season. Ooh. And then he has 2 void years on the end of that.
Damn.
So after this season, they can designate him a post June 1 cut, and they would save $36 million per season on the cap for the rest of his contract.
So is he going to be a Jet next year?
I would hope not. He's too expensive, and your team needs to use that money elsewhere. He's a serious cap hit. I think Alan Lazard is gone.
I see him going back to the Packers. I think he might want to play with Jordan Love. He's going to be quarterback chasing.
He's going to be ring chasing for sure.
I mean, his legacy is shot regardless.
He's been pretty honest about being a ring chaser.
I mean, but that's...
Okay. Alan Lazard's contract's not that bad. It sounded a lot worse than it is. But they could designate him as a post-June 1st cut and save $11 million.
So if he was smart, he would just go to the Chiefs and get it over with. But then I don't see them signing him.
Unless he's cheap.
Chiefs, but even if they're cheap, their wide receiver room is out of control already. Next year, you get Hollywood Brown back, Rashee Rice back. I mean, I would re-sign Hopkins full offseason with Mahomes.
I don't know if you would bring back Hopkins. And Marquise is a free agent. He signed a 1 year.
But I see them re-signing him again.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, you drafted Xavier Worthy to be the Marquise Brown for your team. And he hasn't been bad. He's been okay, but
I see him getting hurt sometime soon.
Worthy?
Yeah, he's undersized.
He definitely is. He'll be snapping half like a twig.
Someone's gonna land on him wrong, and there goes the leg.
I don't know. I just don't think the Chiefs are gonna look at wide receiver too heavily.
Well, that's
they're not gonna bring back. I don't think they'd bring back Marquise for sure.
You don't think so?
For sure.
Can you imagine a wide receiver room full of Lamborghinis?
That's what they thought they had with Kadarius Toney. It still didn't work out.
Yeah, that guy had an attitude problem, and he was just a really good punt returner.
See, what I'm looking at in the draft, if they look towards the draft, they got plenty of guys to replace everyone that they have. Same, like, height, weight, like, bigger guys. You got the speedsters. You got speed and speed and size and Trey Harris. That'll definitely be available. You got the do-everything slot guy and Xavier Restrepo. Alec Iomaners, the do-it-all, kind of jack-of-all-trades, master-of-none receiver, contested catch guy. What do you think of T. Higgins going to the Chiefs?
Ooh, that'd be nasty.
Because T. Higgins isn't a Bengal next year.
So who would be a one?
In Kansas City?
Yeah. So say they don't re-sign Marquise. They sign T. Higgins.
T. Higgins. Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice is their one, but
for sure.
I don't think they have like a designated number one wide receiver. I think they just use what they have. You got Rashee Rice as your yak guy. And Rashee Rice just becomes the Ja'Marr Chase in that offense, even though they're not going to run that offense at all. T. Higgins is your chain mover, opening up the middle of the field for Travis Kelce still, even though I think Travis Kelce should retire. And then they should seriously draft Tyler Warren out of Penn State. Have you seen clips of this guy?
Do they really need to?
He is like going to be Brock Bowers 2.0.
Yeah, but they have Noah Gray. I mean,
Tyler Warren's better. Hmm. Noah Gray is an okay tight end at best. Tyler Warren gives you that potential to have just a surefire replacement.
I think it might have been changed if they didn't have a Kelce and Noah Gray was a starter.
I think he's just fine. I mean, he's not great. He can't separate at all. And that's what Travis Kelce could all do his entire career. He could separate. He's an excellent route runner. That's what Tyler Warren is. He's an excellent route runner. He can separate really well. And then he understands zone concepts, and that was Kelce's bread and butter, is breaking apart zone concepts, and Noah Gray still can't seem to see him. Most of Noah Gray's touches are schemed, I just don't think. I think if they could get their hands on Colston Loveland or Tyler Warren in the draft, they're set. Like, they are the number one target in the offense. Because even like Tyler Warren could block. Like 6'6", 260, 261 pounds. He can block really well. He's just Brock Bowers, but bigger. I mean, he's running reverses for Penn State right now. Like, he is Penn State's sole weapon on offense.
Did the Chiefs not resign Clyde Edwards-Helaire and let him walk?
Yeah, they don't need him. They clearly don't care about him. They signed Kareem Hunt to start over him.
But he was also he had just got back from IR.
I think they still don't care.
Do you think they re-signed Kareem Hunt?
That one, I don't know. Because I think Pacheco's obviously their back. They love Pacheco. He's been getting better at everything. He's their three-down back. I think they like the idea of Kareem Hunt as the number two. But, I mean, you can see that Kareem Hunt isn't what he was. He doesn't have that juice in the run game anymore.
He needs a pass catcher.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they signed him again. I just think this year, again, like, I'm the draft guy, so I'm always like, just fuck it, look at the draft for all your problems. True. But, I mean, this draft, like, legitimately could probably fill out most of the NFL with starting caliber running backs. Like, this is the best running back draft in years.
I still can't believe you don't have Ashton Jeanty in the first round.
Okay. I told you, let me correct you, sir. Ashton Jeanty is a Dallas Cowboy. Let's be very clear on this. He is going to the Dallas Cowboys. Should they do that? No. Hell no, they should not do that. They have too many issues. Do not chase the shiny Ferrari that is Ashton Jeanty.
Chase it.
Eat your vegetables. Build your team better, Jerry. Don't go after Ashton Jeanty.
Jeanty, well, they chase a Ferrari.
But I mean, like, you got Omarion Hampton. Take Omarion Hampton in the second round. He's like plays like Derrick Henry. He plays like Nick Chubb. Like, those two guys. and he's the sole weapon in North Carolina right now. You got Caleb Johnson, same thing for Iowa. You got Quinshon Judkins again. Like those four, those five, four or five, one, two, three, four, those four are number one running backs in the NFL today. You even go down to like Travion Henderson, fantastic number two back. Like the lightning to someone's thunder, like in Detroit. Any team like that is building a two-back field. Travion Henderson's going to be one of those two. Kyle Manungay, he's going to be a starter somewhere. Taj Brooks is going to be like Braylon Allen. RJ Harvey, same thing. Trevor Etienne, same thing. It's just this draft. You can find anything you need in this draft, specifically with a running back. So if they're wanting Pacheco to be their three-down back, or even just their rock pounder, they could take Travion Henderson. And he's the pass catcher, like, change of pace guy. You want to hop over to the NFC? We talked so much about the AFC.
Yeah, we can split that one into two episodes. Let's do it.
You want to do the NFC?
Yeah, let's do it. We'll start with the tightest, the closest race in the NFC. Actually, there's two of them.
Yeah, the South and the West are all like...
No.
Well, the West is...
Actually, I think they're all really, really tight. So we'll start with the East.
Yeah.
Eagles, 8-2. Washington, 7-4. Dallas, 3-7.
3-7.
Giants, 2-8. Those guys ain't doing shit.
0-5 at home. 0-5 at home.
Okay. We'll jump over to the North if you want to take it, or I can take it. Up to you.
I'll do it. You got the Detroit Lions, the kneecap-eating Detroit Lions, the Minnesota Vikings, Sam Darnold, who, you know, he's just waiting for a meltdown. The Matt LaFleur-led Green Bay Packers at 7-3. They're going to make some noise, that 7-3 Packers. They're going to overtake the Vikings for sure.
Didn't they go to the NFC Championship last year?
No, they lost in the divisional round to the 49ers.
Oh, yeah.
They took the 49er down to the wire, but they're the team that beat the Cowboys at home last year. The Cowboys were the 2 seed, and the Packers were the 7 seed. They went and dumpstered the Cowboys at home. Then you got the Chicago Bears at 4-6, just waiting to fire Matt Eberflus. I mean, I don't think anyone's as good as Detroit right now.
So... Hot take, Justin Herbert will have a meltdown before Sam Darnold does.
I don't know about hot take. I think that's just a dumb take.
That's a smart one.
Sam Darnold's already had 3 meltdowns on the year.
Were those on him? 100%.
You can't blame his play caller or his weapons. I mean, his team is good around him. It is him imploding. Like, damn it, I'm on the wrong page. Now I got to go over and fucking look at the damn... Vikings.
Okay. You love the Vikings.
They play the Bears. Solid. See, the reason I say Sam Darnold implode, they won 12-7 against the Jaguars. Okay. Moved the ball up and down the field. And it was how many interceptions by Sam Darnold in the red zone? Three interceptions all in the red zone?
Look at anything. This season has proven that. You can throw 5 picks and still win a game.
Yeah.
And then
your entire team is stacked around you.
We also discussed that there's nothing more dangerous than a team that has nothing to lose.
Yeah. And the Vikings, I'm curious about the Bears game this weekend. And Caleb Williams looked fantastic. They played against really the hard this week. Yeah, he looked fantastic.
Yep, I agree.
It was definitely not his fault. He did everything he could to make the Bears win, and a blown special teams play for the Packers.
The Bears?
Cardinals, they play the Cardinals. Sorry, go ahead.
The Bears beat the Commanders and the Pack, but then lost to stupid ass, you know, silly things.
Yeah, damn it. I'm looking at the Vikings schedule. They're going to lose to the Packers. They might lose one to the Bears because they play the Bears twice. The Cardinals one to me is a coin flip. The Falcons, I don't know.
I mean, the Falcons seem to be trending down.
I think they beat the Falcons. I think that's their one for sure win. I mean, you saw the Seahawks go and beat the 49ers, so you never know what the Seahawks are going to be. They play in Detroit the last week of the season, and you don't know if Detroit's competing, clinched the one seed yet or not. If they've clinched the one seed, they might rest the starters.
I don't know. I have Arizona taking the NFC West.
Again, it's hard to put down. Like, the Cardinals, if they get the good version of Kyler Murray, they beat the Jets 31-6. They beat the Bears 29-9. They beat the 49ers. If they get good Kyler Murray, they can beat anyone. Like, they play in Seattle, obviously at Minnesota. At home against Seattle, they play the Patriots as a win. The Panthers as a win. The 49ers are going to be playing their starters week 18 to try and get into the playoff. Then the Rams are probably going to be doing the same thing.
That's going to be a tight division.
Yeah, it's going to come down to that week 18, I think. I still don't think the Seahawks are going to do much in the division. I just think the Seahawks, well, the Cardinals specifically, are punching above their weight, but they're playing hard. Like, you can see the whole team is bought in to Jonathan Gannon.
Do you think they had a great draft too?
I don't know. I mean, Marvin Harrison was the safest pick. Him and Joe Alt were the two safest picks in the draft. So I'm not, like, knocking them for taking Marvin Harrison, although I personally would have taken Joe Alt. But then they took Darius Robinson, who has yet to play a single snap due to lingering injuries all year.
Gotta love those lingering injuries.
I don't know why you took him. Like, if I was them, okay, so people that went behind Darius Robinson that I probably would have taken over him. I would have taken Jerzon Newton. I would have taken Devondre Sweat, probably. Probably not Sweat. Titans took Sweat super early. But I would have definitely taken Johnny Newton over Darius Robinson. Kool-Aid McKinstry, Cooper DeJean, Kamari Lassiter, Jackson Powers Johnson. There's quite a few people. Zach Frazier, I would have taken him over Darius Robinson for sure. But he's apparently practicing now. He practiced 2 days so far this week. And so, I don't know. He's such an interesting guy, though. Like, 10 years ago, when most of the league was playing a 3-4 defense, he would have been a top five pick. But now that teams are kind of switching to nickel and a lot of dime packages, and like, nickel is basically the new standard of a defense, that's why he ends up falling just later and later. So I'm curious. I want to see him actually playing before I make any assumptions about him. But he's a high floor, kind of low ceiling edge rusher that can play up and down the line of scrimmage. So I'm curious, like, if I want him to make his debut in one of these next 3 weeks, and it's the Seahawks or the Vikings. Shoot, against the Patriots too. I mean, look at the Cardinals schedule.
Yeah.
Seahawks, Vikings, Seahawks, Patriots, Panthers.
I see them splitting with the Seahawks.
I could see a scenario going 5-0 through that.
Shit.
I could see a scenario 0-5 through that stretch. They are a conundrum to me this year. I can't place anything on the Cardinals. I avoid them in all bets. Just because, like I said, if you get Kyler, 31-6 against the Jets, 29-9 against the Bears. Like, you beat the Dolphins. You beat the Chargers. Like, you beat the 49ers. But then you get the bad Kyler, and you lose to the Lions. You lose to the Commanders. You lose to the Packers. Losing to the Bills, that's kind of Josh Allen just taking over the game and beating you.
Yeah. He's like, not on my watch, sir.
Yeah, this was fun. And I just shooting the shit. Tailgate talks, man.
I love
it. Tailgate talks. Speculating. All right, we'll end. Do you have a top five Super Bowl contenders?
Ooh, I do.
That's how we'll end the show.
I like that. So contenders.
Contenders, like serious, like they have a realistic path to winning the Super Bowl.
Okay, we'll go Detroit.
All right. obviously. Like, he's the better favorite. Philly, the favorites.
If they can keep, if they can stay consistent, Philly.
Mm-hmm.
KC, of course. They're the favorites.
Of course.
So, what is that, three?
It's three.
Baltimore. So, I got Baltimore, Buffalo, and question mark.
Yeah, that's five.
Yeah, I'll go with that five.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely agree with the Lions. Lions and the Chiefs are the two locks. Like, you can't bet against the Chiefs yet at all. I think the Eagles is a really smart one from you. I think they're also in my top five, especially if they continue on the trajectory that they're on. They're just going to keep steamrolling the rest of their schedule.
I mean, in order of precedence, I'll put them at five.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I'd put them above the Bills.
You think so?
Yeah. I'd probably put the Bills. Damn it, your five is good. I'm putting the Chargers at five over the Ravens.
I don't. You got a lot of faith in these Chargers. We spent about 20 minutes talking about the Chargers.
Jim Harbaugh, man.
I mean, he's
I'm drinking
good,
that Kool-Aid.
Not that good.
The baby blue Kool-Aid.
That Kool-Aid must be spiked, my friend.
Of course, it always is. It's Jim Harbaugh. You just don't know what it's spiked with. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Again, please show us some support by rating, commenting, subscribing, and sharing. Again, follow us on TikTok at Tailgate Sports Podcast and on Instagram at Tailgate Sports Podcast 24. Ricky's been posting tons of bites, tons of clips from us recording. It's been pretty good, pretty funny.
I love him.
And check us out there. Any final words, Ricky?
I mean, our inbox is open to everybody, and we're always open to suggestions, so please reach out.
Yeah, absolutely. And Deion Sanders, new head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Flash, Dallas Cowboys.